Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community and Death, and we are thrilled to have on the phone with us today Pastor Jim Anderson of the Harbor Church in Hastings, and we, gosh, haven't talked for a while, so I'm anxious to get caught up with you. This show, of course, is a rotation of all the wonderful people involved in the Hastings Ministerial Association. Thank you so much for calling in today. How are things at the Harbor?
Things are going well, and thank you for having me. It's a delight always to talk to you and just catch up with the community there in Hastings area.
Well, thank you so much. And ordinarily, of course, if it were a different time, we'd be chatting in person, but of course we're doing our interview over the phone, which, you know, certainly makes my job more difficult a little bit. And I know for a pastor, that's this whole COVID, the length of how things have been going has to be difficult for you too. Tell us what's going on at the Harbor Church, please.
Yes, I think it's been a time of change, obviously, for everyone. One of the things that has been a positive for us is, you know, our culture, just the whole way we've kind of approached ministry for many years, is very much a, you know, a fellowship based culture. Outside of Sunday morning, we have home-based groups that we call pastorates that are meeting every other week and have done that for a number of years. And, you know, we have a saying at the Harbor, everyone needs to dig their well before they're thirsty. So, you know, and the emphasis has been on, you know, at some point in time, you're going to need support. You're going to need encouragement. You're going to need friends. And so, you know, get into relationship with people, give and take, you know, help them in their times of need. And when you have any kind of crisis in your life or need, they're going to be there for you too. Friends help friends. So what we found was, because we had kind of approached church that way for years, when COVID hit and, you know, restrictions were there in terms of gathering and size of meetings, these smaller groups, home-based or at the church, were still able to get together, and people got a great deal of encouragement and help from those things. So that was wonderful.
And tell me about how you have made these groups work. Are they by Zoom? Are they phone calls? Or how are you meeting now, given we can't meet in person?
Well, we, of course, initially, I think a lot of the groups went to Zoom in those early days back in March and April when the shutdown was pretty severe. And then, you know, there were a kind of a lessening of the restrictions over the summer. And so many of the groups met in yards and garages and, you know, outside, and they were able to have fellowship that way. I've also been, you know, encouraging people. I said, the church doesn't have to organize your social life. So I've just encouraged people. You can invite, people over to your home in small groups, you know, one couple or a few single people. And there was never a restriction on those smaller gatherings as long as people were smart in terms of mask wearing and, hygienic issues. And I just always try to encourage people, you know, to take initiative, be an encourager, be somebody who writes text messages and emails to people they know might be forced into a more serious kind of seclusion. And that initiative, you know, is something that has really kind of gotten into the people's systems, that we're not slaves to having to be organized all the time. We have a lot of freedom and creativity that we can use. So that's been good.
Pastor Jim, what about on Sunday mornings? How is that being handled?
Well, we, following directions back, I think it was in, maybe early summer, the governor changed the rules, permitting churches to meet at a percentage of, maximum occupancy with a plan in place for safety, for social distancing and those kinds of things. So we opened in July our services, keeping within those rules. We were delighted to have about, initially, maybe a third of their people came back. And then recently, it's been more like 50% of our people. Wonderfully, with all the things we've done in terms of inviting people back into the building safely, we've not had any spread of the virus at all. And I think that's been true generally with churches, that there's been virtually no incidents that I'm aware of serious spread at church, because churches have been very careful, and that's been very good. So people have appreciated that. And of course, the other probably long-term effect of COVID in terms of church has been that churches have invested some money and some effort in expanding their technology, getting better cameras and doing, live casting of their services. And we've been doing that since the very first week of the COVID shutdowns. And first we did it very poorly with very poor cameras. But over the weeks and months, we've invested money, and now we've got some very excellent cameras, and our live casting of our services has improved. So right now we probably have 50% of our members watching from home still, for various reasons. And I think that's been true across the board. Either churches haven't opened and they've gone to, live casting for everyone, or they realize that they're still going to have a high percentage of their people, watching from home. So that's been actually a good investment, because that's going to be ongoing. People can watch and be involved from afar.
That's great to hear that there are some good things that are coming out of all of this. How are you handling funerals and weddings?
We've had, a couple funerals. One was back during the more severe shutdowns in the spring. And in that case, we did an outdoor memorial service in the backyard of the home of one of the family members. I think the good weather, of course, is important for that. I know funeral homes have adopted and been, a lot of people have opted for very small gatherings right at the funeral homes. But, recently, before this most recent kind of curtailing that happened a couple weeks ago now, we've had a funeral service that was much like a Sunday morning service. So as long as we stay within the numbers of, maximum numbers and took all the precautions, we were able to have a memorial service at our building. So it has been interesting. And, you know, I just did a wedding last weekend at the Como Park Conservatory, and there was probably no more than a dozen people in attendance, plus the wedding party. So I've felt sorry for wedding, you know, people having weddings right now, but I think a lot of them are planning to have a bigger celebration when the COVID season is over. And, they'll gather and have a big party.
I think we all will have a big party, won't we?
Yes, indeed.
Yes. How about the school, please, the wonderful school that is affiliated with your church?
Well, that's been, you know, one of the joys is our principal, Scott Urban, has done just an outstanding job along with his staff of, you know, making plans to, you know, keep the school safe. And so they've been able to stay open all through the fall. And it's actually, we've seen an increase in attendance, enrollment there because, you know, a lot of parents, because the public schools have had different kinds of rules and have opened and shut and then, you know, done different things. I think a lot of parents have realized that a smaller classroom size school is able to function more with, you know, with greater reliability, I guess you would say. And we've just taken extreme caution in terms of hygienics and masks and all of those things. And it's worked out well. So that's been great that they've been able to stay open and give the students a regular day-to-day education. You mentioned that just like the example of churches increasing their online presence, that's been a good outcome of COVID, you know, a silver lining, you might say. I just heard the other day something that delighted me. You may have heard, and our listeners may have heard about the fact that they were predicting that the shutdown, as it kind of got people to force to stay in their homes, and people were predicting some dire consequences, one of which was a sharp rise in divorce rates. And they've just recently come out with a study that I read that, in fact, what happened is there's been a 19% reduction in divorce during COVID. And, you know, we just kind of joked. They said, hey, guess what? Not too surprisingly, is more time in relationship building actually is good for relationships.
You know what? I agree. Isn't that a wonderful blessing out of this?
Yeah, and I think a lot of families have, you know, experienced the fact that they've actually gotten closer because they have had more time together, more meals around the table, less running around to sporting events or whatever other kinds of things used to take our time and attention. And, you know, maybe that'll be a long-term effect, is that people will realize they need to really prioritize time with their loved ones.
And is that something that you would preach on a Sunday?
Oh, yes. I think, you know, I hope that one of the things that we do as churches, besides our main job of presenting the, you know, the good news about what Jesus did for us, the gospel, is that we also, you know, be people who talk about what's going on in this world and how people of faith can navigate this and how they can actually always see the silver lining. I think that kind of optimism that there is always something good and that we're not victims of events, that we have a great deal of freedom and we can make good choices. And so, yeah, I hope that we're teaching that as well as just presenting the basic gospel of Christ.
When you say we're not victims, is that because we have free choice? God gives us that free will?
Exactly. And he not only has given us the ability to make choices, he's given us guidance in how to make those choices. One of the things I often will talk about is there's nothing that God doesn't claim lordship over, and there's nothing he hasn't given us guidance about how to live. God's word speaks about everything from relationships, marriage, parenting, politics, economics. He's pretty much covered everything, and he's told us how to, you know, make good choices.
And what if somebody's listening and they really are in kind of a despair thinking about the holidays coming up and not spending as much time with people that they would ordinarily be spending time with. How can you help lift them up?
Well, this very uniquely American holiday of Thanksgiving is, hopefully, it will remind us this year that the act of giving thanks is an incredibly powerful act. I just Googled the question, what are the benefits of thankfulness? And I encourage the listeners, go Google, what are the benefits of thankfulness? And you'll be amazed that you'll find, all kinds of really scientific-based benefits and blessings that come out of being thankful. I just made a little list. I said, first of all, expressing thanks to others really is a powerful connector. It builds relationships. It actually triggers positive chemicals in our brain when we think about things that are positive. It can lessen feelings of depression and lift us, our spirits. It provides motivation, because once you realize you've got a lot of good things in your life to live for, it increases our motivation. And of course, we know that depression kind of drains us of motivation. So, there's just all these benefits. Increases our better sense of well-being. And amazingly, I was reading about the fact that there's been a lot of tests that being thankful for 15 minutes before you go to bed and gives you better sleep because it gets rid of anxieties. So there's all kinds of benefits to thankfulness. And again, we're all free to make a list of things that we have in our lives for which we can be thankful.
So if people want to check out your live casting, how could they do that, please?
Well, the gateway to that would be going to our website, which is www.theharborchurch.com. And there are links there to messages and to be on our live Sunday cast. And all of those, of course, are there for people to watch later as well.
And what is the time of that, please, on Sunday mornings?
Yeah, the live service that they can watch with us and participate with us is at 9 o'clock.
On Sunday mornings, but then it is still there for us to watch afterwards.
Yeah, that is correct.
That's awesome. Pastor Jim Anderson, thank you so much. Thanks for all you're doing at the Harbor Church. If people want to learn more, I know they could go to your website, but where are you located, please?
We're located right on Highway 61, and it's about three and a half miles north of the Hastings Bridge. It's right next to River Oaks Golf Course. We actually share a driveway with River Oaks there.
And all are welcome.
All are welcome, always.
We That's love correct. That. Pastor Jim Anderson, the Harbor Church in Hastings, and we are grateful for all they do. Do visit them online, theharborchurch.com, or check them out on Sunday mornings for their 9 a.m. live casting. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Jesus.